Ladies and gentlemen, storytellers of all ages, lend your ears to co-hosts Brad and Philip as we delve into the Marketing Your Attraction podcast.
Welcome to Marketing Your Attraction. I'm Philip, and I'm here with Brad, and we're going to introduce ourselves for this first episode and give you all a rundown as to the format that we're experimenting with for these first few episodes. Let's start with introductions. I'll let Brad go first.
Cool. Thanks, Philip. I'm really excited. Thank you for listening to our first podcast here. My name is Brad Jashinsky. I have over 10 years of experience in different areas of marketing. I've spent the last 4 years as the digital marketing manager for the Knott's Berry Farm Resort here in beautiful Southern California. Before that, I worked in the entertainment industry, doing marketing for television shows, the feature film Legends of Oz, different virtual worlds. And I started way back in the day doing enterprise software marketing. So it's been quite a fun journey into the attractions industry. I also spent a year working with Six Flags on launching their first mobile app way back in 2008 and 2009. So I've always had a big love of this industry, and I'm excited to learn with all of you and learn from you, and hopefully you'll learn a little bit from us. Philip, tell us a little bit about how you got here today.
I've already learned more about Brad.
That's true.
Well, I am the director of marketing at Gantum Lighting and Controls. Gantum is a company. We make the world's smallest programmable LED spotlights, basically. We work heavily in the attraction space because a lot of the attractions in the U.S. use our lights in a lot of dark rides and a lot of situations like that. I also am the editor-in-chief of the Seasonal Entertainment Source magazine, which just got rebranded. It previously was the Haunt Journal. During that, I've also founded the Haunt Attraction Leadership Symposium, which was hosted here at Knott's last year. And I am a published author. I speak and I write, and I have been floating around in the attraction space since college. I got my degree way back when, my first degree in hospitality, and I interned at Walt Disney World, and kind of really am interested in the concept of attractions and experiences and how guests are able to make memories that really have an impact on their development as people throughout their lives by just going to these attractions, and really like the history that is carried with that. So I've kind of been all around the entertainment sphere. I've worked in hotels, and I've worked in culinary. I've worked in, I just realized this a few days ago, one of those things you realize about yourself, but I've been either as a major contributor or producer of ticketed experiences for 13 years, which is crazy, all sorts of experiences, and then leading into attractions. So what we have planned, our format we're playing with right now is we'll give a brief introduction to our main topic, a little bit of intro into the beginning of the show, then cover some quick news for about 10 minutes, kind of until we run out of the 10 minutes, and then dive into the main topic for about 20, and then give a wrap-up at the end. And we're still playing around with the format. We might add or take things away. We have a very vested interest in what you guys think and what you would like to learn about, and we are definitely willing to experiment and to move things in and out as we experiment with this format. The thing that we're coming to it on is starting more from a strategic standpoint rather than a tactical standpoint, more especially with Brad's experience and my experience as well, really what we're trying to accomplish from a strategic standpoint in terms of guiding our overall marketing efforts, like things that kind of bleed into campaign, not just campaign tactics, but the overall, this is what we're trying to achieve in a macro sense, is where we're starting with these first few episodes. But as we get feedback from y'all, we can switch, or we can get a little bit more into tactics or give a little bit more examples for you if that's helpful.
Yeah, let's dive in. Let's start with our first news item, something that everyone in the marketing world, and I kind of feel like everyone in the world, has been talking about for the last couple of weeks, and that's the Facebook algorithm changes. Philip, do you want to update us on what that news story is about and how it might impact the attractions industry?
So earlier this week, I was teaching classes in DC at Paintball Extravaganza, which is a trade show for people that own paintball fields. And I refer to this as the great Facebook newsfeed crisis of 2018, because it definitely is, at its core, it's a fundamental shift in the way that Facebook operates, and it bleeds out, I think, even into the culture of the company. I mean, it's not just Facebook changes their algorithm, you know, like, multiple times. It's always changing, they're always adding features, but this is a seismic shift in everything for the company. And essentially, if you want to boil it down, they're going from previously highlighting useful information. So basically, previously, as you were going through your newsfeed, they want to surface information that they think you would find useful or entertaining or get value from in some way. But the focus was on information, so content, what your friends are doing, etc. And now we're shifting it into they acknowledge that people are spending less time on Facebook, and so what they want to do is allow you to spend less time, but allow you to have meaningful interactions with your network specifically. And that's what their goal is now as a company. So it's a huge shift, and we're seeing a lot of the updates are rolling out now towards the end of February, but we're seeing a lot of the new features that they're adding in are really aligned with this new purpose, and it's really, I think, it's going to shift everything about what we do. And so it comes down to the one interesting thing to note, though, is right now the paid advertising does not fall under the new algorithm yet, as of the time of this recording. I'm sure they're going to eventually work it in, but right now you can still pay to put information out there, and they're not going to penalize it, right? But I think it's interesting for attractions to consider the lens for creating their content around connecting users with their friends rather than letting them know or giving them information or essentially social currency about a thing.
Yeah, and I think what's, you know, Facebook, they'll never tell you everything about the algorithm change, but they have mentioned that they're going to, as they have in the past, continue to promote posts that see a lot of engagement. Mm-hmm. And I think it actually could be a positive thing for the attractions industry, because a, you know, property like Knott's Berry Farm or a haunted house or, you know, a paintball field, like, all of these are experiences that people want to share with their family and friends. You know, we're not selling Tide detergent. You know, mm-hmm. I think it's a little easier in our line of work to think about different video posts, different questions we can ask our fans, whether it's trivia games, whether it's encouraging people to share posts in interesting ways with family and friends. There's just a lot of different touch points our attractions have, since people are actually there and experiencing it, that many other brands and small businesses don't have the same opportunities to interact with their guests and customers that, like, the attractions industry is able to. But, you know, long story short, Facebook is going to continue to decline in organic reach, you know, that unpaid reach that companies and attractions and everything other than friends and family are going to be regulated eventually to a whole different playing field. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're seeing right now. And it's been happening for years and years and years, and now it's just accelerating. So hopefully this isn't a surprise for anyone. And this sort of builds into the topic for this podcast, because as we've been talking, as Philip and I have been talking about these Facebook algorithm changes, and Snapchat's sort of undergoing a similar type of platform change as well, where they're taking mm-hmm. what used to be one feed of information, they're now taking and splitting that between friends and family connections versus celebrity, influencer, and company connections. So we're seeing this not just on Facebook, but we're going to be seeing this on all the different platforms. Because they're seeing that their numbers are declining, as you mentioned, Philip, and mm-hmm. they have to do something to continue to have users coming back, and they also want to make more money. So it's sort of it's a logical choice for their business. But this segues perfectly into the main topic for this podcast is, you know, you do not want to build your house on rented land. Do you want to talk a little bit about your thoughts on that, Philip, and then we can kind of dive into examples and ideas, but I think the overall strategy, as you mentioned, is a really important place to start.
First of all, I don't want to take credit for that line. I heard it from other marketers who I think heard it from other marketers. I don't know who invented it, but it's a guiding principle, especially for us at Gantam, and all the things that I do is definitely, it's like one of our macro goals, you know, that we sit kind of at the top of our marketing plan, is that we don't want to be building assets, the keys to which we don't control. You know, we don't want to have to work through gatekeepers. And I think a lot of people don't consider the levels of gatekeepers a lot of times with their campaigns. So when you're building your Facebook page as an asset, you know, you have not just Facebook, but then you have the hardware that the person has to use it on. So we already know that Apple can make apps function better or worse, you know, and they can slow down their phone. I mean, we know that the manufacturer of the device you're actually using to access Facebook can also be a gatekeeper. We know that Facebook can be a gatekeeper. Then we know that where you get your internet from can be a gatekeeper. Yeah. You know, there's so many levels to this. Even on our emailing list, you know, the service to be able to send emails, then Gmail as a filtering mechanism can filter out our information. I much prefer email lists, obviously, because there's less gatekeepers and we actually have the data. But on Facebook, you don't have anything. You don't have control of it. So I guess the concern for us and kind of that concept is we always want to be drawing our prospects and our customers into platforms or some sort of way that we have more direct communication with them and a direct relationship with them. We don't want to have to go through a trade show or go through you know, radio advertising or TV advertising, all these other gatekeepers. That we want to rent these audiences with the overall macro intention of bringing those audiences into some form that we can have direct communication with, so that we don't have to pay a premium every time we do this. And especially with Facebook, as we mentioned earlier, that's only proving to get more expensive.
Yeah, and it's always so much more expensive to reach out to a new customer. But in a lot of ways, if a customer or guest is only following you on Facebook, then they are going to be a new customer. It's mm-hmm. going to cost just as much to try to reach them as reaching someone who's never been to your business before, because you don't have that direct connection. We see, you know, this all the time, and I think that's why email is, email newsletters, content marketing, all of these ideas that have been around for a long time are coming back into the fold. Mm-hmm. Because 10 years ago, or you know, even 5 years ago, the idea was, oh, just put up a social media page, share your whole audience. This is where everyone is. You want to be with them. And it really became, I think people thought, okay, this is going to last forever. And it's morphing into, as you use the example of television and radio, exactly what TV and radio are. Mm-hmm. You know, those are borrowed audiences. You know, you're tapping into the audience. You don't, you know, when we're on a local newscast, or where you have a radio ad, you're just renting another person's audience. It's when you bring them into a loyalty program, when you bring them into an email list, mm-hmm. even when you do different meetups mm-hmm. and
build a in-person connection.
Exactly. Yeah. And the awesome thing, going back to why I love working in the attractions industry, is we have this direct connection with so many, you know, almost every attraction's going to have a direct connection with their guests. We need to take advantage of that, and it's not just getting people's information. That's a big start. You know, whether it's email, text messages, trying to get as much demographic information as you possibly can, but also learning from them through surveys, talking to them, trying to really activate some of your biggest fans mm-hmm. to do those in-person recommendations. You know, you cannot rely on Yelp. You can't rely on Facebook. You should never build your entire business plan around another business, because it can be taken away so quickly.
Yeah.
And I saw so many businesses do this a few years ago with Groupon. You know, Groupon was another savior that came in for the industry, and they, you know, that quickly they realized, oh wait, when a Groupon customer is coming to my attraction, they're not my customer. They're Groupon's customer. Mm-hmm. They don't have that loyalty. They're not coming back. They might not even know the name of your attraction. You know, they got the email from Groupon. They saw that your deal is 60% off. They're going for that deal for that price point. They're not going for that experience. And I think that's why, you know, earlier this week, Groupon was their earnings have been declining, because businesses are finally waking up to this, that it's not sustainable to do discounts. And those discounted Groupon customers and Living Social customers, they're not becoming loyal customers. They're not becoming your customers. They're sticking with Living Social and Groupon and these deal sites. And you know, as they're getting all these different deals popping up every single time they read their email, they're just going from one deal to the next, to the next, to the next.
Yeah. I think it, for us, I mean, we definitely have different, Brad and I sit on like different ends of this too. You know, a lot of what Gantam does is B2B, and you know, Knots is B2C. We have, the magazine is B2C though, so I kind of sit at different angles on this. And I guess it's something I see a lot, you know, in teaching social, is that people are very, you know, you're very focused on the campaign, you know, and getting the campaigns out, and you're focused on the day-to-day, and you're focused on, we need to get the pages up and get that out there, but which is all great, and I'm not saying that you need to change your call to action. You know, ultimately, if your call to action now in an organic post on Facebook doesn't encourage connection without reaction baiting, if it doesn't encourage connection, then it's not going to do well. But you can't encourage connection and also ask them to sign up for an email list. You know, right. It doesn't work that way. No. So it's important, I think, to understand that what we're talking about is more like a macro thing. Like it's you understanding that the individual Facebook posts are going to be designed to drive engagement, but the overall Facebook strategy as a whole, the purpose is to pull people from Facebook into some sort of internal funnel. And we mentioned a few of the things you can do, but I think really thinking about what your internal experience looks like is important. And I'm going to borrow something too. I don't think it's hers either, but I watched a talk from one of the customer experience crafters from the Walt Disney World Resort recently, and she talks about when they design in rough phases, as in there's a before, there's a during, and there's an after, almost like a story arc, right? And a lot of what we do, what we think of in our marketing, is talking about all that before. So that's like your engagement post is your before.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this is all before the thing happens. But then what are you doing in the during component, you know, to market to them and to take them during your experience into a deeper owned relationship with your brand that then you control, you know? And I think that's really important. That's a thing I don't see a lot. You know, we see a lot of people that are focused on getting you there, getting you to the door, and then you do the experience, and then, you know, you leave and you get retargeted.
Right.
You know, but where's the shift to get them into an internal funnel, an internal operation? And I guess some of the ways that we're doing it, it's hard. Gantam's B2C is very different. For us, we kind of got really tired of renting audiences at trade shows, you know, and so we're looking now to use trade shows as an opportunity to take those people and shift them into an internal thing. So use trade shows more as an opportunity to meet with people and schedule later up training sessions that can come through our office and we go to them or they come to us, and then get them onto our content platform, which is the magazine, you know, and that's an owned, we own all the data for that. And then they, you know, they get that on a quarterly basis. So it's something that keeps delivering to them. And then we bring them from that content platform then into an in-person event, which is the goal of the content platform then at that point, is to get them to our physical masterclass, where then we can work with them again in, you know, one-on-one. Mm-hmm. We're not needing to still rent all these people. But
yeah, that's really important. I like the point that you made there, is a lot of times you're thinking about the customer journey of how do I yeah. get them to become a customer, and not like, okay, I've reached the goal, they've given me money or whatever it is, they've become my customer, my guest, what's the next step? And you know, I think sometimes that can be upselling, you know, certainly, you know, in our business, converting a day ticket to a season pass holder is always important. Once you're a season pass holder, how do we get you to bring a friend? We give you a discount. Hopefully they turn into a season pass holder. But it's also, I think it's more than that. It's making sure, you know, we're investing in photo ops. And it's not just photo ops of, oh, that photo is going to be shared on Facebook and Instagram. Like, that happens all the time. But even more so, what we see is what we can't track. And those are the photos that are shared through, you know, iMessage or text messages to mm-hmm. family and friends, and making sure that those photo ops are branded. And we're getting a little bit tactical here, so I don't want to dive too deep into it. But, you know, those are a couple of different examples of how you can continue that customer journey once they become a customer. You know, I think surveys and giving them really good content, as Philip, as you're doing with the magazine, and not always trying to sell them on things.
Yeah.
There's that balance between...
You have to understand they're separate phases.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
That's what I loved about her talk, was really the delineation of being like, we think of these as entirely separate. Like, don't think of it as one funnel. It's almost like three funnels, you know, and you move from one to the other, mm-hmm. and then you're in this next phase. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's you know, it's just something to think about as you're designing your attraction. If your attraction's already up and running, like, just think about, try to put yourself in the mindset of that customer, and are there ways that you could be reaching them at a more personal, you know, personal level? And it doesn't always have to be something that they're sharing on digitally or something, but you know, even if it's just a deeper way to connect with them individually, you know, something that they're going to remember. Or even if it's something like a free sticker or a coupon to come another time or for another friend, like, there's ways to continue that relationship without trying to sell them right away on something else. But I think even more than like upselling, I think in our industry a lot of times, I don't even see upselling happening. So I don't know if we're in danger of overly upselling the customer once they're here. Yeah, maybe at bigger attractions, but definitely at smaller ones, it's just like, okay, they're in the door, we got their money, we're good. Maybe we got them on an email list for next year, and maybe we'll start this, you know, a year later. But yeah. I think you have to figure out ways, how do you continue that conversation with that customer or guest?
Yeah, I like bringing up other examples and just thinking about, I guess what I would advise is really looking at what you're doing. We workshopped a few people at this last convention, you know, and I looked at the specific thing, like, what, you know, when are you using gatekeepers, and how many gatekeepers are involved? And even if you just try and take away one layer of gatekeeper, you know, then it's getting better. It's mm-hmm. getting better to bringing them closer. And, you know, there's a good example. Actually, I thought it was a great example. One of the students in the classes does marketing for a paintball field, and they noticed just by watching games that, you know, that there's like this group of kids that comes in, and they're like in a team. So basically, they just sat down and talked to the kids, and they did almost like a panel session with them, like, you know, what school do you go to, where do you go, you know, tell us about like your hobbies, and they built a profile for this one team, right? And then they used that to go out and get other teams and come and build this experience of different teams coming to their event to their venue to practice against teams in the area. Like, they got into the culture of why these groups were coming.
Yeah, they almost sort of built a league in some ways.
Yeah, like a practice league to get these other teams to come in, and now, you know, now it moves less from just like this this get there, okay, now we're at a paintball field, it's just another paintball field, to like, oh, this is, you know, where we come to practice with each other, and because now they know all the information. You know, they got their information, and now they're doing stuff with them there. And even more recently, I saw something just today. There's this, like, up where I live up in Valencia, there's this, like, new salad shop that I really like, because it's really hard in California to get a decent-sized salad that, you know, has, like, all these ingredients in it for, you know, less than, like, $12-$15, and this one's, like, $9. So I'm already like, oh, my gosh, this is awesome. And it's this little, like, new mom pop place, and I'm like, oh, this is really cool. And I started noticing, it's like the first time that I went there, it was really helter skelter, they didn't know anything, new employees, everything. But now when I call in to place an order, they have my previous order on file.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, okay, that's awesome.
That's impressive.
That's awesome. Yeah. And now I show up and they're like, oh, we have would you like to opt in to our loyalty program? And you know, if you buy, I don't like the way they're doing it, but essentially it's like you can buy a gift card, and then you get 15% off if you're using this gift card, and you can load them. You buy the gift card, and then you just, as long as you reload it. It's a little clunky,
yeah.
But it's a way, I think it's a really good way to illustrate this concept when they don't have anything, they don't have any sort of data system. It's literally just like a gift card, and they're retrofitting a loyalty program into card redemption program.
It's a good first step. It's almost like the old Subway, you know, sandwich stamp cards that they had back in the day.
But it's a good step, because I like how they're basically like, oh, now you're here. What are we going to do with you to make your experience better, and also to connect you with us more? And like, what's your part B? You know, we're removing all the gatekeeper from you so that you're directly have this relationship directly with us and with nobody else.
Yeah, and you have that great takeaway from the experience too, which is that gift card that help you remind you as well, and you feel like you're getting more value as well. You're valued because you go there a lot.
Exactly. Yeah,
which is great. I mean, that's why you see attractions, including, you know, our park, doing all of these special privileges and events for season pass holders, because we know how valuable they are. We want them to remind them. We want them to think about all of this value they're getting out of their season pass. You know, it's more than just what they purchased. Like, obviously, we're giving them all of that, but now there's these extras on top of it, and you know, you're building loyalty with them. You're expanding that customer relationship and continuing the customer guest journey as well, mm-hmm. with that. Yeah, so I think there's a lot to unpack there, and I think we'll be unpacking more of that in future episodes.
Yes. What I'd like to do here at the end is just thank everyone for joining us, and wherever you're listening to this, please subscribe to that channel and leave us a review. There's notes, of course, in the podcast notes, and there's a link to our listener survey in the show notes, so you can go in there and let us know what kind of topics and what really challenges you're facing in your marketing that we can look at and address here on the show. And I think for me, that's it. I would just like to know what the challenges are, and I would like you to subscribe and to leave us feedback so that we can make the show better.